scoot my chair up without hitting the magic button. There's a button right here that means there's trouble and it summons.
Did you press it? No.
Oh. It's got a protected thing around it. Sometimes we'll go ahead and call the meeting of the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission to order. Stephanie, can you take roll call?
Smith.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
McBride.
Here.
Moore, absent. Mins, absent. Sherwood.
Here.
McAndrews, absent.
All right, thank you. I'm going to make a motion for our agenda today to move the public hearing for the Windstream, so CUP 0120, which is item 7, and move that up to before the new business, which is staff related. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, can we have a voice vote?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. So we'll make that change to the agenda. Are there any, do we have a motion for approving the minutes from our last meeting, which was in January?
So moved.
All right, so we have a motion by Moss. Second?
I'll second.
Second by Sherwood, and all in favor? Aye.
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 All right, so I'll sign those and get those to you, Stephanie. Thank you. Now is the time for public comment for any items that are not going to be covered on the agenda today. So if there are any, there are not, we'll move forward. So let's go ahead and move forward to CUP 0120, the Windstream Broadband Communications Tower. Records show that Kathy Menses are in attendance.
Can't just tell her anything.
We'll go first, and then if they need anything, you don't have to stand the whole time.
I told her to go over there. So.
Oh, sorry.
Do what they say. I just think I know what's going on.
It's right.
All right. Yeah, we'll go through the staff presentation, and then when they're done, if there's anything that you need to address, then you can do that, and then if we have questions.
All right. Good evening, Commission. This CUP is for the Windstream Communications Tower. It is proposed to be just outside of Collins at 70064 320th Street. The property owner is Donald and Lisa Moody. So the request includes installation of a 105-foot communications tower that will supply broadband internet. So the communications tower will be constructed from a galvanized steel finished utility pole, and then 4 Wi-Fi antenna will be placed on top facing each cardinal direction. The range of this setup will be about 5 miles, and then the total height of this with the antenna will be 105 feet. So here's the vicinity map. There's Collins, the Landis Cooperative, and then the Moody property is right there. And just kind of closer of where this is going to be located. It'll be just to the west of this pond that they have on their property. It is outside of the nearest floodplain. So right now there is already an existing access that's proposed to be used off of Highway 6, US 65. DOT has approved the use of this as long as no alterations are done to the access, and they're not proposing any alterations to the access. There is a gate there right now that they'll be able to use. Looking west from that access is Landis's new storage area. looking over that gate, the tower would be situated right about there once it's installed. And then actually on the property facing south towards where the tower would be installed, there's some existing structures. They do have livestock on the property. There's their barn and the dwelling, which is northwest of the proposed site for the tower. Here is a site plan. So here's US 65, 320th Street. This is where the pond area is, along with the proposed new leased area where the tower would be. Here's a kind of blown up view of that. Here's the access. Might be a little hard to see, but they're going to put markers every 25 feet to delineate on the north and south where that access drive is, because they're not going to put down gravel, as the property owner doesn't want gravel across there, since he's grazing cattle out there. There'll be the kind of turnaround spots for their trucks, and then this 15 by 15 leased area. This is the elevation drawing. There's not going to be any communications building there. It'll just be an H frame. It's 6 feet by 5 feet, and that's where they'll mount all the communications equipment to it, at the base of the tower. And then these are the Wi-Fi antenna, just looking down from a top-down view of it. They're about 14 inches by 8 inches in size. We're getting the standards of approval here. So for compatibility, the proposed site is adjacent to Landis Cooperative, so this pole kind of meshed with that use there to the west and blending in with the other neighboring uses. As far as the transition goes, the minimum setback requirements will be met here. So it's 200 feet from the road right-of-ways, and then 52 and a half feet from all of the property lines from the table. We can see that it will meet those setbacks. And the tower will be visible, though, from Highway 65 and on 320th, depending on where you're out on that road. Sometimes the barn or the house will block it. As far as traffic is concerned, traffic along US Highway 65 is going to be what it always has been, around 1,640 vehicles a day. After this is constructed, they plan on being there once a month on average for any maintenance that may need to be taken place, but there's no significant increase in traffic. As far as parking and loading goes, there'll be no parking or storage of materials in the right-of-way, and the parking areas will be delineated with those markers every 25 feet to mark out where their turnarounds are and where that whole access will be. As far as signs and lighting, there is nothing proposed for this site, and it does not meet the threshold for the FAA to require any lighting for it. As far as environmental protection, the environmental impact to the site is anticipated to be limited. They're putting in one single pole in the ground, and they're going to run from an existing utility access at 65 back to it. It'll be all buried back there. As far as analysis goes, if the commission concludes that all the above development criteria will be met, it must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that if completed as proposed, there's a strong probability that development will meet one of these other conditions, which, based on our assessment, we don't see that it would affect any of these. We did ask usual questions. If you'd like me to go through any of these, I certainly can. They had initially proposed a wooden pole, but due to our ordinance, it must be galvanized steel. They made that change. They provided us with how they're going to provide the privacy around the area, all the normal questions that we'd asked, they provided answers to. And they did provide written documents from the DOT stating that it is okay to use this access without doing any improvements, as long as they don't try to improve it anymore. Environmental health had no concerns. The existing house has a septic system that is located west of the house, which is further away from where the proposed tower will be. And the well east of the garage is going to be outside of having any issues with this. There's a public notice that was mailed out February 19th. I did not receive any comments from the public at all from this. So some points to consider. Windstream addressed the need for the broadband utility pole. The pole will help support the federal initiative to provide broadband access to rural customers, which is also what we have in our C2C plan as well. We have how we can help address that. The communications tower will be compatible with the surrounding landscape. No traffic impact is expected, and no environmental impacts are expected. So staff is recommending approval of the conditional use permit for the Windstream Broadband Communications Tower Utility Pole CUP0120 with the following conditions: that the written access and utility easement will be recorded with the Story County Recorder prior to the issuance of a zoning permit for the communications tower. And the second one is for marking the access, which we had put that in there before we had gotten the documents back with the drawing on, which they've so they've already met this second one for us. As always, here are your other options, but again, planning and development staff is recommending option two.
All right. Does anybody on the commission have questions for staff?
And those conditions are what? Again, just a reminder.
The utility, the access easement, we have a copy of the written, but it's just not been recorded yet, just okay. Due to the timing. And then the other one was, since they weren't going to put gravel down, we needed something to identify it. But they've already met that condition with the new site plan, with the drawing showing those.
Okay. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
With Landis being right next, which is very tall, is the signal going to go through that? Is that the best site for that?
From the area, yeah, so I know this.
So this is a question for staff. We'll get
can
answer that in just a second. So
okay,
no questions for them though.
So I mean, based on what I've looked at and what they've also provided, they're not really concerned about going, from what I've looked at anyways, going to the west there. It's mainly so they can reach up to Collins and to the east there. But she'll be able to provide more information on that.
So Windstream's okay. Engineering.
Can you go ahead and introduce yourself and give a business address?
Yes. So I'm Jennifer Jack with Flex Deployment Solutions, and we are enabling resite acquisition for Collins and the portion of this for Windstream. Business address is actually 11.4 Kingston Pike in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
So Windstream is aware of those silos, and they did take that into consideration when approving this location. So yeah, they already considered that, and this will meet their objectives still.
Because there's no internet down there. It's a horrible place for internet. So this is good, but I'm just thinking, I was thinking that where the lagoons are in Collins would probably be a good site too. I just was wondering, because those bends are tall, so going west would be tough.
Yeah, they have their targeted households that they are trying to hit with each site that they're building, and I don't have a list of exactly where those are. But they approved, when we cited this location, they approved that with the objection of hitting those targeted households.
So if you're west of Landis, you're out of luck. So that, I mean, I understand. But there's no internet down there, so this is a good thing.
Yeah, and hopefully, I mean, they should be. There are other locations that they are working in Story County as well.
Good.
With what we've seen in the 5 mile, it will be able to reach, but this area right here is pretty
right.
Rural, but with where the tower will sit, it's going to hit the all the rest of them. So that's why I was.
How tall are those silos, Kathy?
Holy buckets, they're big.
They're very tall.
They're very tall. They're big. They're a lot taller than the tower.
A lot taller than the 100-foot tower?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I just was wondering about, that location. I mean, I'm no engineer, but I'm thinking, okay, there was where the Collins Lagoon went, would might be a good spot. But that's, I mean, that'll be good for our site that is 3 miles south of there. So, but I feel bad for the people west of there, because it is a, there is rural America with no internet. There's spots down there that has, you only have a hot spot. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know that they're able to cover every household, but I mean, they definitely are trying to have maximum impact.
Would they be submitting like new applications for new locations?
So there's more sites
for
coming.
Each one. Yeah. Well, yeah,
there
they're
are
to.
Other planned sites where there are co-locations on existing towers, and I think that was also provided in the list of requirements too.
All right. Anybody else have any other questions? All right, thank you. Now it's time for commission discussion. If there's any questions or discussion that comments related to the CUP for the tower. It's not our first tower, so. Might be your first tower. No questions?
I move that we do staff recommendation.
I second.
All right. We have a motion by Moss and a second by, I'm sorry, by Menz and a second by Moss. Any discussion on the motion? No discussion? All right. Can we have a vote?
Menz.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
McAndrews.
Yes.
Sherwood.
Yes.
McBride.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes. Okay, so the recommendation will go to the CUP, so this goes to
Board of Adjustment.
Board of Adjustment, and they're the approving body, but it's a recommendation with the conditions as recommended.
Aren't you glad you came all this way?
Well, but here to answer any questions you've got. So.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so moving on to new business. We'll move on to 6.1, Ames Urban Fringe Plan.
Okay, that's me. I'm up.
AUFP.
These next two items are discussion items. The first thing is the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan is a land use development, an agreement with the City of Ames, Story County, and the City of Gilbert. Initially, when they crafted it, it also included Boone County, but when it got to the adoption phase of it, they decided that they didn't want to participate in it. So every year that I've been here, there's always been an item on our work program for Ames Urban Fringe. This year, it's an issue because the Ames Urban Fringe Plan document, which is the 28E agreement, which supplements the plan, will expire in July of 2021. And so the idea is that we want to get out ahead of the other jurisdictions, our partners, Ames and Gilbert, to let them know that we support the current plan, that we're interested in extending the plan. Interested in extending it because the City of Ames is currently going through a pretty extensive process with their land use plan, the 2040 comprehensive plan, which is tentatively scheduled to be completed the end of this spring. It might go into the summer. So the idea is that we want to show that we support the current plan, we are interested in extending it. But we want to work with the jurisdictions in amending it. So what we're going to talk about is the resolution that the Board of Supervisors adopted in February of of February 18th of this year, which addresses just that. The interest in the current plan, the support that they have for the current plan, interest in extending the agreement. The resolution talks about extending the current plan for at least a year to give the county and the other jurisdictions time to, you know, work together to work on our plans to amend. Also attached to the agenda center is a letter dated March 26th of 2019, and it talks about the meeting that we had with the Ames RDG, the consultants that are working on the comprehensive plan. Planning staff, Marvin was included. There was some other county staff at that meeting talking about, you know, the relationship that we have with the other cities and how we think the current process works. It also references key areas of primary importance, and these are some things that came about prior to this current Board of Supervisors, but it talks about things that is believed to be lacking in the current plan. These are things that need to be addressed in a future amendment, and so I'll just kind of briefly touch on those things. The first thing is transportation and metropolitan planning, organization planning. There really isn't any component for transportation planning in the Ames Urban Fringe plan, nor is there information with regard to what the MPO, which the Metropolitan Planning Organization is a separate entity, kind of a quasi-governmental entity, and their land use boundary review area is outside the city of Ames. It extends into Boone County. It extends south and east of the city, as well as it goes north and includes the city of Gilbert. So there really isn't anything substantial in the current plan that addresses it, and there's that need for it. There really isn't a lot of information on housing, particularly, you know, the different types of maybe studies. It doesn't really talk about much in terms of housing other than single-family housing. So that's something that will likely be addressed or should be addressed. The Board of Supervisors authorized a study to occur throughout the county, which would include the cities as well, to get into great depth of, you know, the current inventory and the needs, as well as many other things. So there's going to, and that's going to be something that will be worked on throughout the summer. It will likely be wrapped up, hopefully, the end of this year. And so there's going to be some information, data that could easily be provided in an amendment process. The next thing talks about reviewing whether urban residential areas match up with growth projections. Urban residential areas in this plan are to be they're prime. They are to be the first to be annexed, and they are generally within the current corporate boundaries, or just outside the corporate boundaries of Ames and Gilbert. But oftentimes, what we've seen with requests is there aren't sanitary sewer. There isn't sanitary sewer or water available to these locations. And there's been cases where we've had amendments because there's no, you know, plans have changed, plans have shifted. And so they've been down designated to allow development to happen, minimal development, and to allow those to reside in the county. So there's a need to look at those urban residential areas, as well as the next thing, which is the growth priority areas. Growth priority areas really come from this, from the city of Ames's current comprehensive plan, and they identified certain locations where they determined, you know, where they thought growth would occur based on future improvements, projects and whatnot. They're currently going through, as I mentioned, this 2040 comprehensive plan. They've designated primarily four growth areas, one to the north, one to the east, one to the south, and then one to the west. And there's been quite a few public meetings to take input on that. And so, you know, with that in mind, how will that relate to, you know, the planning that we do? Because we're talking about the 2 mile area from the current limits of the city of Ames outside to the unincorporated area. So how will that those growth areas relate to the planning that we do? Adding policies to address rural water and provisions of full services to urban service areas. I think the current policy is pretty lacking when it comes to rural water because under state law, cities and rural water agencies are to have policies in place on, you know, how these transitions are to occur. And sometimes landowners are surprised by it. Developers can be surprised by it. So we need some language. Did you want to say something?
I just want to say there's a lot of things that I think that have come up over at least the last, you know, 5 or 6 years of my experience with this, where the city of Ames has allowed a requested or whatever terminology you want to use for development to happen, even though they know there aren't services there, they're not going to provide services there, but they're still planning on annexing and allowing development under the Ames umbrella, knowing that, oh, you're going to build those houses on 190th and they're going to be on septic and we're never going to provide, you know, sewer utilities to there, even after you're annexed. So I think there's things like that that just get allowed to happen that are not maybe aligned with, you know, the services that a city should provide. And I think some of those kinds of things, you know, the transportation hot potato. Well, it's a county road, but it's inside the Ames Urban Fringe area, and Ames is developing there. And, you know, what's happening with those that transportation. So I think there's several kind of issues that can, I think, or should be clarified about. If it's going to be within the city of Ames, then it should be provided services.
Yeah, when the Irons, that's an area where it was in a transitional area and they had agreements with the city. Uh-huh. So over time, they're to receive water and sewer.
They are.
Now they're served with on
They are. Systems. But the three houses that are on the north side of the Country Club golf course that are actually enter onto 190th, last discussion when those got approved was they'll be on septic, and even after they're incorporated, they're, because of their location, they don't plan on extending sewer and water out to them. So you're going to end up living in the city of Ames, in incorporated Ames, with septic tank and no city services. If it was me, I'd be wondering, do I get a property tax break for, you know? But anyway, there's things like that. Why are they allowed to happen?
Well, and again, it's come up in these urban service areas, the urban residential areas, more frequently, I think, than the transitional areas, because these are areas that are supposed to be prime, ready to go, ready to be annexed, and then they are to fall under the city's development standards. But this is one of the things I think that the board and the commission needs to discuss, you know, having solid plans in there. First of all, do we have all the areas designated appropriately based on the city's planning, based on the county's planning, and then have a reasonable policy in place for transitioning if they are going to be truly annexed and provided city services?
Since the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, since it went into effect, Ames has pushed east.
Oh, God.
I, th-
think right up to the, is it right up to Nevada?
590th.
590th
is the east boundary.
So is Nevada interested in joining us, or is there any reason for the city of Nevada to?
To be honest with you,
be a jurisdiction party to this?
Yeah, I don't know that there is interest. And then also, there's been some comments about whether or not Boone County might be interested again.
Right.
Especially if Ames extends westerly with their planning.
Ames has pushed a good deal west along 30. So, a lot more than, you know, when this went in, and so maybe they are interested again. But
with the East Industrial Plan, once that gets, you know, established, you would think there might be more interest and pressures, you know, in that area too.
You would think, since that would actually be in Boone County, right?
I'm talking about
on the east side. Nevada, I was thinking the west side.
So
with
it's
some of the west
possible
development.
That Nevada might have some interest in it.
We'll need you to stop.
Yeah, well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
What's that?
What are you talking about?
Linda started to make a comment.
Well, I know.
I was threatening to make her go up to the microphone.
I don't care, but, you know, I don't. A lot of this is way over my head, and I'm wondering what our role is in this even today. And so please tell us what concerns you.
Okay, I'll make a comment for the record. Yes, the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, because Ames and Nevada, their city limits just are come right up against each other now. It would seem like when the Ames Urban Fringe Plan is redone, that 2 miles of what is now Nevada City will be in the Ames Urban Fringe.
Right.
Oh, my God.
It is what I'm referring to. I'm also thinking other jurisdictions, maybe Huxley or, you know, I don't know. I don't know where those lines, how far north, how far south those go, but more Boone County and Nevada were the ones that came to mind.
Yeah, and the 2040 plan, some of the area that they've been looking at as their tier one, which is their first expansion frames,
you should at least have an option to vote.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I can add something too on the boundary issue or the boundary question. When there's annexation currently in the Ames River Fringe plan, it states that the Ames River Fringe boundary does not change.
Right.
When there's an annexation, the boundary of the Ames River Fringe plan does not change. It was changed when we worked on the East Industrial expansion, and they changed that eastern boundary of it to extend to 590th Avenue. I think that's the only actual boundary change to the Ames River Fringe plan that we've had that I'm aware of.
All right. Sorry, interrupting you on your presentation.
And then the last thing is review land use designations along Highway 30 corridor. The DOT has a project underway. It's been underway from the interchange of I-35 and Highway 30, extending all the way to the city of Nevada. Every at-grade intersection and driveway, they're planning on closing. And so the first phase of this will be this interchange at approximately at 580th Avenue. And so, you know, when that project occurs, which I think will be in the next year, I think they're working on like right away, that it's a good time to maybe look at the land use. Most of that area is in the it's unincorporated zoned A1 agricultural district, except for on the southeast corner of that intersection. There's a little node there that's commercial light industrial zoning, and that's in the county. But some of this might change a little bit because there's been some adjustments. They were planning on doing like a frontage road situation on the south side, which would kind of create kind of an area between the frontage road and Highway 30, which could lend itself to other potential uses. So, but again, that's one of the things. So the idea is, that we would look at these key areas. We would take input from the Planning and Zoning Commission. And I wanted to get to the schedule, which I will too, but this is the actual resolution that was approved by the Board of Supervisors February 18th. It talks about the original Ames River Fringe Plan, which was approved 2006. It was supplemented with a 28E agreement. 28E, Code of Iowa, Chapter 28E, allows, encourages governmental entities to work together for a number of different things. In this case, it's a land use agreement that we have with Ames and Gilbert. It indicates that it was approved July 11, 2011, and that it expires in 2021, which is why we're talking about it now. The resolution also talks about extending the current plan until 2021, July 11, 2022. And then it also talks about the interest in the plan, interest in extending it, and the interest in working with the other entities. The memo that staff prepared also addressed a review and discussion schedule, which was also supported by the board. We have three different dates identified. The idea is that on the next meeting, which would be the April meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission, we would spend some time going through not every page, but just the highlights, spend 15, 20 minutes going through the components of the current plan. Before we start working on making changes to it, we want to make sure that everybody has a good understanding of how the current plan and the policies are established. So we wanted to spend some time going through that. We want to talk about maybe get into some more discussion about the current key areas that I just went through, talk about strengths and weaknesses. And then in 2 weeks, we were going to do the same thing before the Board of Supervisors, go through the plan. We've got a new Board of Supervisor member. We have two new commissioners. And we would provide some input that we received from the April 1st meeting to the Board of Supervisors at their meeting, and then have a joint meeting on the 6th, which would probably be the day that the Planning and Zoning Commission meets, but we would do that the first thing. Spend an hour going through the key areas, talk about additional items that could be added, should be added, and then really get into like vision going forward, who you see. We would have some input on, what the process would be, working with our partners, how we would solicit input from the general public. First time through this, it took like 4 years to get to adoption of this, and then another 5 years to approve the 2080 agreement. They worked kind of in community groups. They had environmental groups, builder developers, persons from the agricultural community. There were different communities that were represented that provided input on the policies that actually got adopted. So that's generally, what we were thinking. And again, this is all about getting prepared to, amend this agreement. And and move forward. So this is a discussion item. It's not an action item. So I welcome any input on anything that I've addressed. Particularly interested on, you know, the input that we're going to be providing and requesting.
Is staff seeking input from other Story County departments, like transportation or, you know, the different departments, and see if in their experience there's anything that they would like to see or provide input?
That's something that we probably haven't had a lot of discussion about, but we should and can easily include that. When do you envision that occurring? Before the April 1st meeting?
I don't think it's required before that. That's, you know, when, if we're just reviewing the as-is plan, but I think that maybe before we have the May 6th joint meeting, to be able to have either staff or the Board of Supervisors representing kind of all of the county's interests, right? It's not just right. us that deals with the Ames Urban Fringe Plan.
Right.
So it would make sense for, you know, I don't know what all the departments are, but certainly legal and land use and, you know, anybody, there's a lot of different departments in a lot of different areas that the Ames Urban Fringe Plan right. covers relative to the county, where there may be an opportunity for feedback.
Right. I think that's a great point. I mean, the obvious one would be engineering secondary roads, like you mentioned. We would have, we usually get legal involved when we get ready to adoption of an ordinance or when we're getting ready to adopt.
I'm just saying, if you just sent out not like an official survey, but just a request for feedback on how the different departments view the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, and if there's any specific feedback that they have, you know, positive or negative, or things that they think need to be areas to look at.
I think that's a great idea. And then we would have some information to share with the group.
That's the thing. You might get something, you might not. But if you don't ask, you won't know.
Did the City of Ames respond to the March 26, 2019 letter?
I don't know that they actually took a formal
I don't remember
position.
Any.
It was sent to the City of Ames City Council. It was also copied and sent to Gilbert's City Council. You guys, the commission received a copy.
It was more a referendum or just a communication to say that we'd gone and met with the consultants that were working on the plan, and that, you know, we were supportive of what they were doing and, you know, how they were doing it.
But so the formal, like, kind of ask of the City of Ames to renegotiate the...
Yeah, with the resolution that the board adopted...
That's recent, yeah.
February 18th.
Okay.
We're asking the City of Ames and the City of Gilbert to take action by resolution to show their support in the plan and to show interest in working with
so
us.
So that's still...
So we are asking for that.
It's still a little fresh then.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's still a little fresh then.
Yeah. We have not... Yeah.
That one's 2 weeks.
I've received communication from the planning and housing director for Ames, and so I think he's working on getting that on the agenda.
Okay. Do you get a pretty good feeling?
Well, I've had discussions with both city staff, and they're both interested in working with the county.
Okay. Just checking.
Good.
Yep.
It's 580th Brookies. Road?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Where the store is.
Yeah.
Yep.
You got to talk agriculture talk.
Yeah. Right. The feed store,
that's
yes.
That's the Brekkies Road.
Any other
questions for staff? Any other discussion?
So are they coming this way, US 30, on those interchanges to Airport Road? There were a horrible accident there yesterday.
Well, and again, all of the roads that intersect Highway 30, they're planning on closing them.
Including 6th Street, right?
And so, well, yes. And all the driveways, they're planning on closing those. So, like, everything from 580 West to the interchange, the way they're going to deal with that is require everybody to get off at 580th, and then there'll be frontage roads on the south side of 30 and a frontage road on the north side.
But 19 or Airport Road is, are they closing Airport Road too?
They don't have a plan for that yet.
Okay.
Oh. We're not, that's, yeah, that's, they had a plan for what is, you know, 6th Street.
Yeah, that's going
to
be
which
closed.
There was a lot of opposition to it, and so they went back to the drawing board, and I know there was a committee involved providing input on it, but I don't know that I've seen anything on that. But I don't think that, but I think that's going to be a part of this project, so that everything will get funneled to what this new interchange will be here at the city. But again, that's right now they want to do the one at 580th, but that's something in their long-term vision. I don't know if it's in their plan yet, but it's in the long-term vision.
So they concreted that road, and now they're going to close it.
What's that?
They concreted that road, and now they're going to close it. I'd put housing development down that road, right south of Lincoln Way.
I don't.
You know the road? I don't know what road it is. It's right.
It's like 18th Street.
Yeah, whatever.
18th,
yeah.
Where the industrial, the city's industrial park is.
Yeah, it's for the semis to go to Lincoln Way.
I'm
right
trying to remember
straight.
How. You know, there was like a, it was like at a northeast southwest orientation, this interchange, and it eventually extended into what is 6th Street into Nevada, which is the main street. But I'm trying to remember how or if it connected to what is Airport Road. I don't recall. We can certainly push for a plan of that. But that's long term.
Oh, it's not in the 5-year plan anymore?
I don't think that one
okay.
is. But 527,
they were going to make a big interchange, and I don't know whatever happened to that one. And then they were going to close Airport Road, and then, yeah, then they got it all in a dither. Closed 6th Street.
They were really, yeah. They were very much interested in doing this project here, and then there was so much opposition to it that they pulled
it. Well, and when they first announced it, was a couple of years ago when they first came out mm-hmm. with this plan?
Yeah.
And, you know, they were talking about closing everything along 30.
Yeah. They didn't
and, yeah, it didn't get real far because there was a lot of feedback.
But eventually, I think that's what their vision is.
I agree.
To Nevada.
I think that, you don't just come out and announce that that's what you're going to do.
They try.
Yeah. Fan wall, we're going to close the exit that gets off people off to your business, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right.
So any other input on this? Because otherwise we'll plan on coming back in April and provide some background and take input on the...
I think it's a good idea. Let's review the as-is plan for Ames Urban Fringe Plan as we go through it, at least, you know, go through the index and summarize what's in it, then...
We have a PowerPoint for that one already.
Okay.
That we can.
All right. So...
I'll try to keep it to 15, 20 minutes or so.
No, but it's educational.
Yeah,
so it'll be good. It'll be a good primer to promote future discussion and then get ready for a discussion with...
Yeah, the joint meeting would be May 6th.
Okay.
Same time, 4 o'clock?
Likely.
We haven't worked out the details on that, but we need to wrap that up.
Yeah, usually we do that. We have either we start an hour earlier and meet for an hour with the Board of Supervisors, or just use the first
hour.
Been
at the same time, and we do this first, the work program, we do that first, and then we do the regular meeting.
Right.
Because usually there's work schedule
conflicts?
Okay. Yeah, it's May, though. It'll depend on what it's high construction season, so we'll see.
Yeah.
What our agenda looks like. All right. So if there's nothing else on that, then let's move forward to, I guess before we move on with that, is there anything else that you wanted out of that discussion, just feedback?
Yeah, I think I, you know, got some direction. We just kind of want to keep this in front of the commission. We definitely want your participation in it. It is very important. And it's a timely topic. And
agreed.
It's hard to believe, but the time's here to start thinking about it.
And before we move on, is there anything from the county to bring up with us? All right. Thank you. All right. So then let's move on. Item 6.2 on the printed agenda, the discussion of Iowa Center and Shipley Property Owners Needs Assessment Survey.
Right. Also on the Planning and Development Work Program was to assess the needs of Iowa Center and Shipley. We did that about a year and a half, or maybe it's been 2 years ago. The unincorporated village of Fernald, which I think was pretty fruitful exercise. And so we've been asked to look at Iowa Center and Shipley. We put together a survey. There was about 5 or 6 questions and received a pretty decent response from the landowners in Iowa Center. We sent out 90 questionnaires, received about 17 of those, also received a few phone calls. So about 19% of those that we sent out responded and communicated back to us. Compared to the Shipley survey, there were 55 that were sent out, and we received only 2, plus we received 1 phone call. So, I mean, that could mean a lot of different things. You know, so that's like just under 4%. You know, perhaps they're happy. You know, maybe they're content. Maybe they're not.
Generally, if there's negative feedback and you're giving an opportunity to voice it.
Usually you hear feedback.
You would hope to hear.
There's concerns. So, again, this is a discussion item, but we thought it'd be helpful to kind of go through the results. Gabe, our intern, did a great job of tabulating all this information for us. And, again, 17 surveys returned, 3 phone calls. The first thing is services that are most important to you. And the way we phrase that is, you know, with that question, we asked them to provide check marks to, it was a list of about 10 different things. And so what you see is, you know, the results of that, road or other infrastructure improvements, utilities, which could include water, gas, electric, internet. We found that internet availability, issues with internet came up quite a few times, which that's the item that's on the county's strategic plan.
I'm just laughing because if you give that same survey in this within the city of Ames, you'd get the same you get the same feedback about the poor internet. Or
okay.
We have awesome internet in Colo, Iowa. We have fiber to our house. So see, I don't understand.
I don't understand why I don't have it when I live 4 miles from Gilbert and I live, you know, yards from where it should, you know, be easy access, and I'm still using a hotspot that's incredibly expensive, and
yeah, so,
and we're a
university. that's not uncommon feedback.
Yeah.
I think that would be a number one issue for our county.
It's on our strategic plan. It's a high priority item to do an assessment to figure out, you know, what's going on out there and what needs to be done.
It's also a high priority for the city of Ames. The city of Ames got feedback on internet availability within the city.
Duff Avenue's terrible.
And there's a company that is getting approval to run fiber within the city of Ames. So there's a new internet provider. I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but there is a new internet provider coming and running fiber within the city. So
I think it's two issues of quality and availability.
Right.
I mean, I think Ames
there's
more
pockets
about
in the center of the city
quality,
where,
but the yeah. when you live as close to Ames and Gilbert as I do, and you have no possibility of available.
Right.
That seems to be what we hear quite a bit, that there is just not available, and there's no plans to get it there.
And right. it's a university community, right. and, you know, that's rare in Iowa. And if we can't have it, it's the lack of equity is huge. Like, as a school teacher, I can, you know, the students that don't have access to that at home, it makes a huge impact on the quality of their education. And people that do have it just cannot experience that and cannot feel the impact of it. But it's huge, and I can really see that.
There's a lot of rural America that does not. Down by Collins, they have nothing. I feel bad for those people down there. And that's why that tower, where it is at, I'm just blocking the west side. I'm thinking there's got to be a better, but I'm not the engineer, so
yeah, maybe they're co-locating other antennas to cover that west area. So anyway,
so, and I don't know if I mentioned, this is Iowa Center survey results. The next question that we asked is, what do you like most about Iowa Center? The most number of responses came from those that said they like the proximity to cities, amenities, and the location. Good neighbors, and they like the rural setting. And then here's kind of I guess it's all the responses. I'll just kind of pick through some of them. These are the things they liked. They like the rural location. It's quiet. They like the open spaces. No large animal confinements. Not a lot of housing that has that rural feel. Everybody knows neighbors, rural living close to cities, peace and quiet. And then somebody mentioned that they're generally pretty quiet, but apparently there's some issues occasionally with trucks and the braking noise. Problematic issues in Iowa Center. Probably the most common was other. And if you look at the sphere, it shows you that four persons responded by saying speeding was an issue. Property appearance is a concern. And then again, access and reliability of utilities, which gets back to the internet issue. And then those that mark other, one didn't specify what the issue was. One said dust control is needed on gravel roads, and then street lighting is a concern. What would you like to see changed in Iowa Center? The most common were issues dealt with the speed of traffic, road services. They'd like the gravel roads treated, and then perhaps wider shoulders. Property cleanup is a concern. And then some of the things that were listed, changes. There's a building that used to be the town hall that's, I think it's north of where the original platting is. There was somebody mentioned that it needs to be cleaned up or removed. Cleanup of some properties, some residences. Street lighting at the intersection is an issue. Road quality. need to have a sign for hidden driveways that are on the highway, property cleanup. Main concern is cleanup of a few rundown properties, and then they get into some specifics. They also mentioned concerns about erosion, and they would like to have lower speed limits. Enforcement of speed limits. And then under how long have you lived in Iowa Center? Again, one person, well, most of the people said that they were there over 30 years, quite a few said over 30 or greater. One person's been there over 50 years. Do you plan on leaving Iowa Center? 14 said no. So they're happy there. And one person said yes. Two didn't answer it. Let's see, anything on additional questions? Hey, there were some comments that the county crews do an excellent job clearing roads in the winter. That they've cleaned up some houses in the community, which is nice. They enjoy the area. There's some concerns with tile maintenance for fields, ditches, road washouts. They didn't like the fact that the city of Maxwell got a Dollar General store and that there's a sign for that business. And then there was a comment about reducing speed limits and doing more to make the motoring public aware that buses go through there and pick up kids and drop off kids. So any questions, comments on that one?
Yeah, that's no different than the school bus stopping on Highway 65 with every semi that's loaded with cattle and hogs. So, it's how we live in rural America.
Yeah. Can we defer or can we understand what road they were talking about when they were talking about speeding?
It's
S-27.
Yeah.
The main.
There's only one road.
There's only one road.
I don't know where dust control comes from. They can pay for their own.
There is east-west, but dirt road that crosses it. But
yeah, the survey actually went out to landowners. We tried to use the census blocks. It wasn't just the actual original platted town or
there's not 90
village.
People in Iowa Center
because it's a judgment call, but we thought we had to go out further than just the core area, and so there were some gravel roads probably connected to
you. Pay for mine being dust controlled.
But to get to your question, and this is and I'll get to it, but it'll be the follow-up that we're going to need to do as staff working with other departments. And likely hold at least one or two town meetings, hopefully out there, like what we did in Fresno.
Yeah.
To get to the details.
Is there a venue?
What's that?
Is there a venue out there?
Well, that's what we have to try to figure out.
Put up a tent.
Church or something.
Or maybe somebody's got an accessory building.
We've got an empty hay barn.
They have an old town hall that needs to be restored or torn down. That's all that's in Iowa City, a cemetery.
Yeah, I don't know how many people can get in there, but.
Do they all
or if it's safe.
So would you say the majority of the comments were transportation related? Then?
Seems like a lot of them were property issues, which would probably involve our department.
We have two active enforcement cases in Iowa Center right now.
And somebody mentioned that they noticed that, and which is nice. We like to hear that. But sounds like there might be more work to do there.
Yeah. You mean with the...
So issues with speed limits, maybe road improvements, signage, traffic signage. So this will likely involve our department, maybe environmental health if there's health issues or issues with septic systems, and then engineering secondary roads. Those are the three primary departments that would be involved.
Rural water or water to all of the properties?
I think there's rural water out there, whether or not, they're all on it, because that's not a requirement for development. You can apply for a permit to do an on-site well. But most of the comments on the utilities were involving the no availability of.
What's the hope for that? I mean, what's out there on the horizon that can give people hope on this internet in the rural areas?
Well, like Windstream. I mean, what Windstream's doing.
Just like we saw today.
I mean, it's that you're not gonna. I mean, you might be able to get fiber truncated to your house, but that's going to be a long way off, probably for Iowa Center. That would be a reason that they're coming through there anyways.
What is the role of the county, though? Is to do research? To
Well, I mean, we're doing needs assessment right now. And like I said, this is a priority for the county. The internet is a county to assess the countywide, do an assessment countywide.
Including the incorporated.
Based on that data, then you have to turn that into some type of action plan.
And just kind of trying to figure out.
Action plan.
Part of the action.
Seems like it's way kind of out there in the ether.
I keep hearing about it for years and years. But
all right, fine.
You know, I'm like trying to figure out what's mapped. Like, what's, you know, who are the companies, who the providers are. That's like the first level, and then start working on where the problems are, who needs the service that doesn't have the service, and then
identifying gaps, in other words.
Right. But then from a county perspective, if you know, the county has essentially two options, right? One is to pay for providing something or supplementing, encouraging. And then the other is just like what we did today, which is working with providers and being cooperative and trying to get services in.
Right, because what the county doesn't have, like a utility that we operate, like some cities would have telephone and they could certainly provide that service. We don't do that. So we would have to approach it from a different perspective.
I mean, looking at gaps and probably maybe a land availability, you know, seeing who would be in those areas where there's a gap, and if anyone in that area would be willing to let Windstream come and locate. And then if it would meet that need for Windstream or whoever that may be, it may not be that specific company. Yeah. But
who needs it now, and then where's the growth going to occur when you're talking about unincorporated areas?
That's a tricky one to project.
Right. Which is where business usually is best at identifying that, but if there's not, yeah. All right.
So the next one is Shipley. Like I said, we only received a few responses and one phone call, but under services that are most important to you.
Can I just interrupt one second?
Yeah.
When you get the phone call, are you doing the survey over the phone then?
Well, we put that out there as an option that we would go through it with them. Like with Iowa Center, two of the three said that they would fill out the survey and return it, but they did not. And so one person actually provided detailed information that Gabe took and made a part of our compilation of responses. Okay. So we are keeping track of it.
Okay.
But we try to make it easy, you know, complete the survey or call us, different ways for them to provide us with the information. But again, so it's on this one, we're asking them to identify three of the top 10 different things. And so with two responses, you get six things. And so it's, again, road or other infrastructure, environmental health, water, and I think there's, like, issues with septic systems, utilities, again, home maintenance, upkeep, enforcement of property cleanup, which can, you know, connects with that one, and then reliable transportation, like transit service. What do you like most about Shipley? Proximity to shopping. They like the rural location, the rural atmosphere. Problematic issues, again, utilities were identified. And under this one, though, Gabe indicated that they circle water and the internet. So those two things, concerns with water and the internet. They also identified issues with the road and infrastructure, adequate housing quality, property appearance, and the person that marked other, it was a concern about dust control. So do more with trying to control the dust on gravel roads. Under what would you like to see change in Shipley? Rural water options. You know, you talk about internet. Here's a concern about water service, road, paveway, pavement road, pavement of road, which, you know, when it comes to pavement, that I mean, since I've been here, I think there's been two roads that have been paved. So, I mean, it's very costly. It's a very expensive activity.
And that one was 5 years coming. So
it's like $1 million a mile or something.
And what's the population of Shipley?
There's probably like three or four houses. I don't know what the actual population.
What's the average age of the homeowners? You don't know that either.
I don't know. I don't even know if the census would have that. Here's how long have you lived in Shipley, and one person said 45 years, and the other one said 34. So, I mean, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. Any plans to leave Shipley? No. So they're happy.
I have family that's come from Shipley, yeah. So I understand that.
Yeah. So they're proud of it, and they're happy to be there. Additional comments, would like to see property upkeep a little better, but don't want to lose the property owners present at that location. They don't want to upset anybody. Again, they're baffled by the fact that it's close proximity to Highway 30, but yet there's no internet service. Rural water also, I understand that many in the area have no close access to the service. And again, it's not, you know, a specific requirement to develop to have rural water. And then the person that did phone call, that, you know, like I said, Gabe provided this information. He said that she lived there for 7 years, does not want additional traffic, is very happy with rural water, gets along with neighbors, wants to make sure Highway 30 access is not cut off, and concerned about how fast Ames growth is occurring. So with that, I mean, what we were thinking is that we would meet with environmental health, engineering, secondary road staff, planning development staff, and go through these results. We've already provided the survey results to them, but kind of work out a game plan. And our vision is that we would actually have at least one meeting, preferably at their location. That it seems to work pretty well. When we met in Fernald, it was awesome to see the number of people, and they walk from their house to to the feed sales representative. And I think we had a couple meetings there. The second meeting was probably, first meeting we had like 35, the second one maybe about 16 to 18 people.
That's awesome.
I think it's best if we can meet in their area.
I mean, I've had public meetings in cities, you know, and not that many people show up. So.
Yeah.
I think in Fernald, though, there's kind of the overriding flood. There were some probably larger scale issues that were more common, and so. I think there was a high return on investment of the time that was spent in Fernald and, you know, working with that community and trying to work through and get some of those issues resolved. But it doesn't seem like, based on these, the highlights, again, are roads and
property
water and internet and then property cleanup and...
So, again, I think meeting with those departments on what do they see and what recommendations.
Probably, too, bringing the sheriff's department into the loop, too, when you're talking about traffic, you know, speeding issues.
Right.
But, you know, we're
especially if there's any of the deputies that live, you know, I don't know, we're in that vicinity, you know. I don't know.
Fernald is big compared to Shipley and Iowa Center.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
It's the largest unincorporated village.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, businesses alone, the elevators and all that kind of stuff.
There's no business in Iowa Center.
No, that's no. Right. There's a Shipley. I'm referring to Shipley or Fernald. Yeah, you're right. That's a big difference between that and the other two.
So,
all right.
And then we'll update the commission on what we end up, what our plan is moving forward. That way we can invite the commission members to attend. I think we had a few commissioners at the Fernald meeting.
Any questions or
I'm
feedback?
Just once again with the real water. I know that, you know, we have limited authority over that, but it's such a huge need for people to have safe water. I had cancer in my 30s, and the only study I was in was on well water, and as I was so desperate to get rural water. And it is another thing that is just, I think when we go out and talk to these communities and stuff, that maybe knowing what we can offer and what we can't offer, and giving some leads on how to approach it. If this county can't offer something, then at least some information on best approach to getting those kind of services.
That's kind of what I was hinting at with the internet.
Yeah, we also, yeah, we had that people here that were making recommendations for today for the tower. It's listed here as Windstream, but that's not who's actually here. But I'm wondering if there's, you know, we have a channel for communication with them. If we can just ask them, are there any plans to cover this area?
I think there's a buzz out there. They're interested in other counties, but I don't know as far as story if they've got anything that they're looking at. Are you aware in talking with them?
They haven't said anything. I can definitely ask who I've been working with. I feel like she'll definitely provide that information if there's anything kind of in the wind, because she knows we have to go through this process. So if I know about it ahead of time, it just makes it easier for everyone. So
right.
I can reach out and ask.
Yeah, do that.
Especially if we can look and see if there are already any towers that kind of cover that for, you know, any cell phone towers or anything that they can colo, then.
Which is what they set out to do.
Right.
They didn't want to have to build something, but that's what the.
Because I know that we have approved towers along 30. I see Linda nodding. I remember there's one on the southeast corner of near 3035. There's a tower, the communication tower there. I don't know that that would cover this, but I know that there's at least one that we approved there, so maybe there's more kind of within that.
You do have a towers map. We have a layer for that.
Yeah, there's one that was recent that's just southwest or southeast of Call Maxwell. I just got filed not too long ago. There's a few others just kind of out there.
All right.
One in Zeering.
But I would just say that's maybe an opportunity, right? There's not a lot that we can do as the county to provide internet, but certainly maybe identifying, helping to show the companies that we can identify a need and then offering assistance with here's towers that we're familiar, you know, that we're aware of. And I don't know.
I should have asked her, because why can't they put the tower on top of Landis? Grain bins. I mean, they used to do that all the time.
Yeah, they used to put it. I think
it's not. I mean, it's not necessarily just
Gilbert
keep putting it on top of that. Landis might have tried to charge them an astronomical fee for that use. It's not just
census prior.
Right. I mean, it's negotiation.
Right. So they may have went through that process.
Yeah. Or they may not have. Yeah. Because that, you know, that's just an environmental, it looks better if it's on top of, you know, something that's already there. Yeah. Because it used to be at the Cola Co-op. They used to have one up there years and years ago when it first started, cell phone.
All right. Anything else?
Good work.
Any other feedback?
It was very interesting.
Is this the time for my update, or do we have anything else on the surveys?
I'd
move on.
I think that we're completed with item 6.2. Okay. So.
Time for an update?
Staff comments, is that where we're at?
Yeah. If you're ready for it.
Sure, go.
2020 census, we're in full swing. We're wrapping up. There's been a lot of interest in trying to recruit people to be census takers. We had somebody from the Census Bureau come and hold up shop in the assessor's conference room a couple different times over the last couple weeks. They're looking, at one point about 2 weeks ago, they were looking for over 100 people to be census takers. The job pays $21.50 an hour.
I signed up.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, but they're still looking for people, so that's a priority. The goal is to work on trying to reach the hard to count people, which those are the young people, people who are language impaired. There's people that don't necessarily trust government, they don't trust, you know, what will happen with this information that they provide. This go around, though, they're really stressing electronic communication. So they want people to use the website, you know, via their phone, tablet, computer, as a primary means to self-enumerate. 78% of the population will receive like a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that will provide details about how everybody can self-enumerate electronically. The balance of those people in the U.S. will receive that piece of paper that will talk about how to do it electronically and the paper ballot. But again, they're really stressing the importance of having people do this electronically. And so, you know, we're trying to, Kathy provided some input. We had some ideas on, you know, how can we reach maybe persons who might employ, persons who are language impaired, you know, the hard to count persons. We intend to, which is a part of our work program. We do site reviews at all the mobile home parks. We want to put something in our flyer for the mobile home parks to ask the landowners, the park managers to, you know, communicate the importance of the census, send something to the co-ops. Kathy had an idea of maybe reaching ways to reach people through the tax statements.
Yeah.
Property tax statements.
Because they got to go out anyway.
Right. And so we're working through our plans. Census day is April 1st, so we're kind of getting down to a critical time point here. And we thought about maybe having like a computer that might be available that people could come in when they're taking care of other county business to use to do this. But so any ideas that you have on ways to reach people, be glad to hear it. CitizenServe, we talked about that. We received board approval to obtain a new cloud-based software for zoning permit and development case applications. As a staff, we've been working with the consultant over the last couple months to make our forms, our applications, accessible through this process. So we're very busy with that. Stephanie has been taking the project lead on this. Do you want to provide any input, additional input? Work is ongoing. We've kind of put out a teaser that, you know, after a certain period of time, you're not going to be able to go to our website, pull these applications for zoning permits, home business permits, permits for rezonings, whatever you have. We're not going to do it that way. We're going to be using this cloud-based service. And so we've already started to let people know via our website. Leanne has talked about it when she's talking on the radio. And so that's another thing where that we're constantly trying to come up with ways to communicate. Social media, it's out there. We're going to have training for all of the department representatives who provide input on things that we route to them. And then we're going to have a process for the general public to help educate them, primarily using the website, kind of a step-by-step approach on how they can access and use the
service. Will someone who doesn't have access to internet and or computer,
they can still come in and we would help them
walk them through it.
Yeah.
Your local library.
We will no longer have paper applications though. It'll actually have to be done on the computer, but we can help them with it at the camera.
This is happening all over the world, right? In the United States and countries and governments.
We just went through how people don't have access to the internet here, so.
It's problematic.
Yes.
Yeah. Close to Gilbert.
But yeah, and for those people, I mean, we were planning on helping people to make the adjustment. I mean, we have people now that come in and you know, they're not using the computer or they don't have all the forms and we help them with it. So we intend to help them.
Just checking.
Yeah.
I knew you were.
Yeah.
I would give to local libraries because that's what our library is. It helps a lot of people that don't have anything that need to go through, and we got great librarians that really do that.
The librarians are so wonderful about helping, but people that don't have ready access to internet don't know the questions to ask. They don't know what the cloud is. They don't know what, you know, they don't even know how to ask for help because they don't know what it is. And
but that part so your process really isn't going to change a whole lot because it happens a lot already where people call and they need help filling out the forms, and I'm either able to help them or one of the planners walks them through step by step how to do it.
So someone says
people who have like no idea how they just come in.
Yes.
And then we walk them through.
Up.
You know,
right.
So I'll hand them a paper application and circle. These are what you need to fill out. The only difference is instead of circling on a piece of paper is we'll have the computer set up for them so we can even guide them through it on that side.
And it's common enough that I actually have an email set up that I can copy and paste that has step by step instructions for people that are requesting additional assistance, and that's always helpful.
And we're not just going to dump this on the public. We're leading up to it, and there'll be stuff that we're going to generate to help guide people.
In fact, we're going to only, when we do go live, it's only going to be the permits for right now, and then we're going to slowly bring in the development cases and special projects into it. We've learned through our consultant that that's what the other jurisdictions have done. And we had a lot of discussion about that. You know, do we unveil everything that we have, or do we try to do it slowly? And we're going to do it slowly.
Mm-hmm.
It's an education process. Yeah. And our staff is awesome. And we're up for the challenge. And a big part of this is going to be education. And we'll work with everybody.
All right.
Questions and needs about it.
I have one question.
Sure.
You guys are going to hate me. How does the LISA system work into the, it won't,
We do the lease is something completely separate. Okay. They'll apply for property research through that, but the lease is something that I do. Well, yeah, Amelia and I do separately from all
it's
of that. That's a whole
a GIS analysis.
That's completely separate.
And more, but
it's not an integrated system.
But the application, the questions, how we, you know, our input,
you'll glean it.
All that stuff is on our website now, whereas before it wasn't. So that was. There was an interest in
that was a work item last year of making the
LISA
analysis process more transparent.
It's kind of I just wonder how they
and as far as those applications go, like for the people that don't have access to internet right now or don't have computers, well, regardless, they wouldn't have access to it. They're gonna have to come in and we're gonna help them through those steps anyways. So regardless of if it's an online system or paperwork that they have to download and print and bring to us, if they didn't have access to begin with, they weren't getting it without coming here first. So,
any other questions on that?
No, just curious how that worked.
Two other surveys that we're working on, then I'll wrap it up. Right. Is we were to compare other jurisdictions, cities, counties our size on those that use accessory structures for maybe dwellings and other purposes. Mm-hmm. And those jurisdictions that have building codes, standards, the pros and the cons.
The Steele Amendment, right?
What's that?
The Steele Amendment.
The Steele Amendment,
right?
That's right. So that survey went out. We received just a small number, probably under half. And so we need to follow up with that. And
then how many jurisdictions did you?
There were probably around 10 to 12 jurisdictions that we
counties
sent
or
to.
Counties and cities.
Well, we sent it to cities in Story County.
Oh, okay.
But the adjacent counties and then counties that were the same size as Story in Iowa for right now. And then there was a few in the Midwest that we sent out to, but the focus was, you know, similar sized to Story County. And again, there was about 10 or 12. And so we received less than half responses. And this was a pretty, it's a digital survey that.
Survey Monkey? Or
something. Yeah, something like
Google
that.
Docs.
And those are usually pretty easy to respond to. So we intend to follow up with those folks and ask them to please provide the information. Some of this will involve us doing research. I mean, this is just a survey. We're aware of jurisdictions that are doing these things. You know, the West Coast, Marvin talks about, it's mandated. In California cities, it was mandated for this to allow this, to allow these conversions of accessory structures, garages, to housing. They have to meet standards, but it's happening in the state of California. I think there's other states out in the West that have similar requirements. So that'll be another component of our review of this.
Some states or cities are getting rid of single-family zoning altogether.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we get calls. You know, people want some flexibility with, you know, it's, you know, name your district. It doesn't necessarily have to be an ag district or a residential. They want some flexibility.
I'm going to build a tiny home on my
their
property
parents
for
to
my
live
in-laws
in the same
or,
house
yeah,
or siblings or whatever the situation
yep.
is. So.
Yep.
That's we're that's, actually doing a
that's what
comprehensive
we're talking about.
Review of our land use standards, and that's one of the things that we're looking at.
Yep.
You know, the definition of family and the definition of a dwelling unit. You know, what does that actually look like? So.
All right.
It's interesting.
And the last survey is we're doing a survey on our fees. We charge fees to cities, counties, schools, federal, state agencies for our development applications. We get a little pushback from that, and so we wanted to compare to see what other county departments are doing on that. And so that went out today. So I'm interested to get those results.
All right. Anything else from staff?
That's it.
Okay. Yay. Any comments from commission?
issues.
Good work today.
What's that?
It's been an interesting meeting. Good work from y'all.
We appreciate your input. Anything that's a work program item, you can plan on having us come back and report on it, request input, and then ultimately ask for action before we go to the Board of Supervisors.
All right. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn. All right, we are adjourned.